Hello, hello. I have to start talking immediately because I upload this on a podcast where you can just listen audibly. So I don't want a lot of silence. Okay, here we go. We're live. Come on in here. Get in here. Come on. We'll just wait a second. Wait, see if anyone else joins. Anyone's going to join us. How is everyone? What's going on? Hey, Blue Rage from YouTube. What's up? Where do we begin? Like, where do we start? You got to take deep breaths, guys. Deep breaths. Inhale, exhale. We're going to get through this. We're going to get through it. Biden's gaffes overseas. Pray to God they don't start a World War III. I mean, honestly. What did he say? He told some troops that when they're in Ukraine at one point, then back that up, said he didn't mean to say that. And then possible use of chemical weapons being used, then back that up, didn't mean to say that. And then called for a regime change and then changed his mind. I don't know how we do three more years, guys. I help. So anyways, that's Biden. That's the Biden side of stuff. But the main topic is not going to be Biden. Also, I guess Will Smith has now apologized for slapping Chris Rock across the face during the Oscars. These people, they're miserable people. Honestly, I don't know any happy celebrities. I mean, I say that because I lived in Hollywood. I worked for a well-known celebrity. I lived in their home. And I just saw miserable, really miserable. People that have everything and they're the most insecure, unhappy people I've ever been around. So that's my take. So when I watch the glitz and the glamour, I'm like, yeah, you haven't seen the backstage because it's ugly. It's real ugly. I didn't watch the Oscars. All right. So then Will Smith gets up there and then talks about, like, you know, loving people. I'm like, well, you know, are we, whatever, you don't handle a conflict with violence. And that's what we saw. And I know there was a lot of back and forth on whether it was staged or not staged. You know, now that he's apologized, I think that it was a for real thing. So anyways, how are you guys? What's going on? What's happening? It's kind of a rainy gray day here in Colorado. It's just kind of gloomy. So what I wanted to get on here and mainly talk about today is when I saw Ketanji Brown Jackson last week, unable to define what a woman was, I was like, first of all, you're like, what? Like, why can't you just say what a woman is? And a lot of people were like, well, she didn't answer the question because she didn't want to go into the whole transgender issue. And that's why. Okay. Either way, answer the question. Define what a woman is. There should be no reason why you can't define what a woman is. And either she didn't want to answer the question because she didn't know. She didn't know. She doesn't know. We're in a world now where you just don't. I don't know. Or she didn't want to offend. Right. And that's the problem. The problem is we've gotten so timid and so mousy and weak that we're not speaking the truth. And the truth does offend, but it also liberates. And when you start speaking the truth, of course, you're going to upset some people, just like Jesus did. I mean, Jesus upset people so much that they crucified him, okay? But we have to speak the truth. And real love speaks the truth. A false, perverted love allows people to continue to wallow in sin, to wallow in confusion, to wallow in deception without speaking the truth. The truth hurts, okay? And it does offend. But it also, like I said, it sets people free. And that's what we're afraid to do. That's what most people are afraid to do, because they don't want to upset anybody. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I don't want to cause confrontation. I don't want to have any conflict. In the meantime, you're letting people that you love and care about walk deeper into deception, which is not loving or kind or caring at all. And then I started thinking about, you know, the NCAA, whatever championships with the swimming and the biological male that is now, you know, transgender. Winning this race, and the NCAA is now standing by this and they're not backing down. And what we're witnessing right now is a complete erasing of women, right? Like an eradication of them. You can't define what a woman is. And women are now being completely blacked out in the sports arena. And if this continues, there will be no biological women in sports. That's crazy. No, it's picking up pace. It's not slowing down. So I started to just really pray about this. And I'm like, God, what is it? Like, why is there such a war on women? And it was funny when I said, like, when I was praying, like, war on women, I'm like, we've heard that. We've heard that for a really long time from the left, right? We've heard the left Democrats profess there's a war on women. Well, as I was praying, God's like, go back to the original war on women. And when did that start? And so I started just kind of studying the Bible and studying, you know, where does this come from? And why is it so intense? And it's rabid. And if you say anything, you know, it's like you're a hater. You're so full of hate. If you're questioning what's going on, when it's like we're living in the Twilight Zone. And if you ask questions, then you're full of hate. And that's just a complete and total lie. So I went back and I started reading my Bible, which, I mean, and this is the truth, right? This is the truth. And like I said, the truth offends, but it sets you free. And so God took me to Genesis 3:15. Like, this is where it all like starts to go down. And it's so simple, but it's like, it's easily passed. It's easily like just completely like blocked out. Like, just, you know, you just continue reading. But in Genesis 3:15, it says, "And I will put an enmity between thee and woman, and between the seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." So this is after, okay, Adam and Eve are in the garden. Okay. God specifically tells them not to eat from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, right? Like, don't eat from it. Just stay away from the tree. Okay. And yet, you know, Eve's out walking. She's like, "Hey guys, I'm going to go for a little stroll." And there's this tree is so good looking. This is a beautiful tree. Oh, the fruit looks so good on this tree. I got to get me some of this tree. And along comes Satan, right? And Satan's like, "You know, God told you not to eat from this tree because he doesn't want you to be like him. Okay. He doesn't want you to know and to see the difference between good and evil. He doesn't want you to be enlightened." And Eve is listening to this. She's giving time to this serpent. She's thinking, "Wow, really? Like, I could be like God. I could be like God." That's hard to pass up, right? I mean, that's a pretty big, hey, you could be like God if you take this. I know you weren't supposed to, but if you do it. So she ends up, hold on, let's just go into exactly what. "And the Lord said unto the serpent." Okay, no. So let's go back. So she partakes of the tree, right? And the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. So look what happens here. people skip over that part. Adam was with Eve when this went down. Okay. So they're together, but she ate it first. Okay. So maybe a conversation ensued after this. Like, this is my imagination. She takes this fruit and she's like, you got to eat this, Adam. Like, you have to, it's so good. And it's going to make us like God. And we're going to be able to be like God and be wise, know everything. She and Adam takes it. So instead of listening to God, Adam listens to Eve. That is the power of woman to influence. Okay. There's incredible power in that. Now remember that, hold on to that piece. Okay. So then it all goes down. God shows up. He's like, what's going on? I can't believe you did this. He curses the serpent. He says, now you're going to crawl on your belly. You're all cattle, and about every beast of the field upon the belly shalt thou go, and thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. Like, he just curses the serpent. Okay. But then he says to Eve, like I just said a few minutes ago, and I will put enmity between thee. So he's talking to the serpent and woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So enmity is what is? Enmity is enemy. So God specifically says, you, Satan, the serpent, and Eve are going to be enemies. And we are so witnessing that right now. We are so in the midst of the war, Satan's war, on women, on Eve, woman. Okay? Okay. So then I was like, well, this is just to skip down just to give you guys a little bit deeper reference here. I thought this was so cool. This is just a complete off the cuff here thing. But in verse 20 in Genesis 3, it says, and Adam called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. Okay. From women come the seed of creation. Right? Women bring forth life. Satan cannot create. He can only steal, kill, and destroy and deceive. I mean, he deceives Eve in this situation. And he despises women. Why? Because women bring forth God's creation, right? Satan cannot create life, right? So God is the only thing that can create life. He creates life, right? He created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And from God's Word, he brought forth every single thing you see. But he uses women to bring forth creation, and he used a woman to bring forth the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And God also spoke this to me. After Jesus was crucified, who did he appear to first? A woman. Why? Because she has the ability to influence, to tell others what she saw, to be a voice of a witness, right? Just like Eve was able to influence Adam and take the fruit, so was Mary able to influence and say, hey, I saw Jesus, he's here, he's risen. She was able to influence. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, the power of woman is so incredibly significant. And there's such an incredible war on women because we have the ability to influence. We have the ability to bring forth life, which is God's creation. And Satan clearly knows that, right? So what does he do? He brings a counterfeit. He brings a counterfeit war on women that the radical feminist movement has completely warped and twisted and used to deceive millions of women across the globe, right? The radical feminist war on women movement convinced women to kill their offspring. I mean, that is such a contrary to what God's intent was with creation and bringing forth life and the women's ability to influence life, right? And what else happened? He took women away from their children, put them in the workplace, work, you know, have someone else raise your kids. Don't be able to influence them. And you focus on you and don't focus on your children. And we have the ability to influence like no other can influence. And not to hate on the dads. I love the dads. We need dads. And I can do a whole thing on dads separately and how that has been, you know, completely twisted and how horrible an attack on men has been as well. But this is specifically for the women. And the women's ability to influence in her home, to influence her husband, like Eve does, to influence a people like Mary did. Hey, I saw Jesus. To influence her children like Mary did, as she grew, she you know, Jesus was right with his mom for the first, until he launched his ministry. So for 30 years, right? He's around his mother. The first miracle he performed was for a woman, for his mom. She had so much influence, and she said, and Jesus, first of all, what did he say? I'm not ready. It's not time yet. And Mary's like, listen, we need wine. We need wine. Turn this water into wine. Do it. And he is influenced by his mother. The power of women to influence is so incredibly significant here. And look at how the left has perverted it and has taken it and twisted it and convinced women to not influence their children, to not bring forth life and create and to protect that and to preserve that. It's a complete attack. There is a war on women, but it is not the war on women that the left professes that there is. And I feel like this is something that everyone needs to be so in tune with, because it's easy in these times to be deceived and to be caught up into this radical feminist type thinking, which is completely contrary to the word of God. And it just really hit me on this, because I was like, why is there such a war on women? And Satan lies, right? He tells women that, you know, you can't, like to a young mother who gets pregnant, right? The left lies and says, hey, you know, you can't have a career. You can have a career. I'm not saying like you can't have a career and also be an influencer mother and be an influencer in your home. But I'm saying like, it's been so like belittled. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, you're with your children. Like, it's just so like, oh, okay. And it's not, it's so significant. That's the problem. It's such a significant assignment to raise children. To raise children, to mold children, to arm them, to equip them, to go out into the world, to be a light in the darkness. And Satan knows the influence a mother has on her children. And so, and I'm not saying you can't, like, you know, have a career and be a mom. You can, but I think the role here, the role of mother has been it's been stomped out, right? It's not been elevated. It's been like, oh yeah, yeah. And it's such an important role that we play as women. And the attack on it is so prevalent. Like, you just look around and you're like, oh, I'm with my kids. I'm with my children. And it's like, oh, okay. And that's not what God wants. God knows the role that a woman has and the influence a woman has and the ability to raise up children, to be ambassadors for Christ, and how the world has tried to crush that, right? And I think that we see that all over. We see it all over. And the real war on women began back in the garden when Eve took that fruit and she turned and gave to her husband, who was with her. So she was able to influence him so much so. And that's when it began. And then Adam and Eve were banished from the garden. But before that, Satan and Eve become enemies, like literally enemies. Like God even says, you guys will be enemies. And there has been Satan has then been attacking women since then. So I just felt like I needed to to call that out, because I feel like, you know, the left has such a platform, right? I mean, they've got the media, they've got Hollywood, they've got every single outlet, education. And look at this. I mean, what just happened yesterday with DeSantis signing this bill, right? The Don't Say Gay bill. It's not a Don't Say Gay. You can say gay. It's teaching gender fluidity and sexual topics to children kindergarten through third grade. Anybody that wants to do that is messed up in the head. Okay? You're messed up in the head if you want to talk about sex to children ages kindergarten through third grade. But look at that. They just another way to influence children, to influence the mind of children. You see how the enemy comes in and tries to influence, and how they're twisting this to, you know, oh, don't say gay. That has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. But the deceit, the deception, the lies, and the media is right there helping it. And how it's the left has literally tried to get into our children's minds, innocent children's minds, at such a young age to influence, right? To influence. And that's our role. Our role, the parents' role, the mother's role, the father's role, is to influence their children. That's not the role of some teacher, okay? Especially on those topics. And it's gotten so twisted and it's so off kilter. Why? Because we're not speaking the truth, right? We hear this, right? We read it, but we don't speak it because we don't want to offend anybody. Well, I'm telling you now, if you're not offending people, then you're not doing the right thing. You should be upsetting people. People should be upset when you talk, because you need to speak the truth. And I'm not saying you need to go around screaming at people, but you need to be honest. And you can do that in love. You can walk in love and speak the truth. Okay? And this is how it's happened, right? Because women, strong women of God, where were you when this radical feminist movement started taking place and precedence in our country? Where were the women of God standing up and countering back? We need to be doing that. We need to be doing that right now. We should have been doing that back then. And I feel like the reason why we're at where we are now is because people weren't speaking up. They weren't speaking the truth. We've got to do it. We've got to do it. So, I don't know. So now when someone talks about the war on women, what you should do is say, well, let's go back to the original war on women. And what does it look like? And where did it start? And why is there such an attack on women? So much so that we're literally seeing them erased from sports. So much so that people can't even define what a woman is. You don't think there's an attack? There's an attack. There's an attack on the seed of woman, on the creation of life that women bring forth into the world. There's an attack on it. There's a radical attack by the left on women and what women are able to do. So anyways, I'm tired of it. I'm just fed up with it. I see Ketanji, Judge Jackson, I don't know what a woman, I can't define a woman because I'm not a biologist. Get out of here. Speak the truth. You can't speak it. You shouldn't be a Supreme Court justice. Anyways. So that's really what I wanted to come on and say. I don't have that much else to say. Yes, the attack is from Satan. Well, it starts in the garden, right? It starts with the serpent. The serpent. You know, and gosh, what else did God, like when I was also reading, it also became clear to me. And that's the curse, right? The curse. But what's so incredible about all the, okay, so this is the Old Testament, I'm not going to get into Old Testament, New Testament, New Covenant, but there is a new covenant under Christ, right? This curse has been broken by Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, he broke that curse over women. He broke it. And women can receive that freedom that Jesus paid for and not be a victim of the enemy if you choose to. But the curse continues unless you accept what Jesus did for you on that cross. Because if you're continuing to be like, oh, I'm a victim, you know, oh, Satan is after me, you know, God declared, that Satan and women are at war and there's nothing we can do. There is something we can do. Jesus paid the price for that, right? He took care of that. So you don't have to be a victim to that mindset. Anyways, well, I'm reading your comments here. It is really messed up. Someone's talking about how there are, children and transgenderism and stuff like that. I just want to say I have a 6-year-old who often pretends to be a unicorn. Okay. I mean, to be like, oh, well, maybe she identifies as a unicorn. We should start, you know, the surgery process of getting wings for her or putting some kind of flying mechanism on her so that she can be who she really feels like she's supposed to be. I mean, it's gotten so twisted and so off the truth and so contrary to what God says that anything is anything. Oh, what was that quote? I posted it for you guys. On my page, and it literally caused all the atheists, all the haters to come out and lose it because of this quote. And it's so powerful and it's so true. When people stop believing in God, they don't believe in nothing. They believe in everything. That's J.K. Chesterton. And that's so true. Like, if you don't have an anchor, like, what it, there's anything is anything. Like, there's nothing that's grounding. There's no gravity to your ideologies. There's no gravity. There's no anchor. You're not anchored in the word of God. If you're not anchored on how government should function and the Constitution is the anchor there. If it's anything is anything and it's just all whatever you feel, you will believe anything. I mean, there's nothing you won't believe because there's no anchor. There's nothing to line it up with. You have to have an anchor. And we're witnessing a group of people, the left, that anything is anything, right? But behind all the left ideology, when you go back to like Marxism and Karl Marx and communism and how the left is literally completely embraced those ideologies. Karl Marx says that communism begins when atheism begins, communism begins when atheism begins. I'm going to make sure, quote me on that. But basically what he's saying is you can't have what I want, right? If you have a God, if you believe in something that anchors, that is the absolute truth that anchors, you can't. And that's what they've done. They've abandoned God. They are fully embracing these ideologies where anything is anything. You can be anything. It's all based on your feelings. And it's just so contrary to what God says. So, I mean, and guys, I come back to, you know, Ephesians 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers and heavenly places and wickedness in heavenly places. This is a spiritual battle. So when you're dealing with somebody that's dealing with, you know, their identity or they're not sure who they are, or you're dealing with some radical leftist, you have to remember that it's not the person that you're looking at, right? You're not dealing with, it's not people. It's the spiritual realm that they've been entrapped into, right? And so that's where the battle is. The battle is honestly in prayer. The battle is in knowing the enemy, which is it's a spiritual enemy, and combating it that way. So anyways. All right, you guys. Well, I just wanted to jump on here quick and share that. I need to do something funny. I know people need to laugh. They're like, thanks for the serious topic, Rachel. But I was literally, when I saw that last week, I'm like, okay, you're not a biologist, so you can't tell us what a woman is. Like, I was like, they're so far gone. It's just, you know, because either A, you don't want to offend people, so you're not speaking the truth, or B, you really don't know what a woman is, right? I mean, those are your choices. So speak the truth and be honest, do it in love, and know the real battle, what the real battle is, because it's spiritual. It started way back in the garden, right? So I'm not a vet, but I know what my dog is saying. Yeah, I did that last week. Just was with Ringo, our dog. And I just, you know, I had a moment where I wasn't sure. A lot of people thought that was real. They're like, are you serious? You really don't? No, that was satire. I was not. I know what a dog is. I know what a woman is. I know what a man is. I know what a tree is. I know what rain is. I'm not a meteorologist. I mean, but when you're not anchored, like what I'm saying, when you believe there's no God, like what, it's all based on feelings, right? And your emotions. So anyways, all right, you guys, God bless you all. I will hopefully put out something funny here. Thank you to my supporters. You guys are so awesome. And I appreciate you. You do encourage me to keep going, even when I feel like I'm sometimes talking to a wall. You guys are like, keep going. And I'm so thankful for you guys. All right, you guys. God bless you. Keep speaking the truth. Do it in love. You can do it in love. But I'm telling you, you're going to offend people because people don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear it. So, all right. We'll talk later. Bye, guys.